So we've been looking at these questions, these tough questions, and I want to thank you because you've challenged me. Not that I'm not challenged on Sunday mornings at all. I mean, every week I am. But these questions that you have, that we asked you to kind of come up with, and we got all these really interesting, creative questions. And we've kind of put them in categories. We've looked at the reliability of the Bible. We looked at the Trinity a couple weeks ago, which is just boggles your mind, right? It just blows your mind. But this week we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, because I think what happens is we talk about God the Father, we talk about the Holy, we talk about Jesus a lot, but we don't talk very much about the Holy Spirit. In fact, in some realm, in some groups of people, the Holy Spirit is taboo. And then there's other groups that the Holy Spirit is a little bit, they go a little outside of the boundaries that Scripture tells us. So hopefully, what I'd like to do this morning is to give you kind of some solid scriptures. Well, all scriptures are solid, but some specific scriptures that are definitely about the Holy Spirit, and to give you some understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And then I want to challenge you. This is in your bulletin, and this is a great resource, this sermon notes from Charles Stanley, and it's about 11 categories of the Holy Spirit, and each one has a scripture verse. And so we're gonna go through all 11 of those here in a few minutes. And so if I go too fast, or if I see your eyes going up into your head, take this home and look them up, these scripture verses up, and ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to help you understand a little more about who He is. So this is just a resource for you, okay? You can look at it during the sermon too. I don't care. But this is good. All right, so let me pray. Father, we thank You for who You are. We obviously are finite. We don't understand. We are not all-knowing. But You have given us Your Spirit to explain things to us, to help us understand. And so we ask that Your Spirit would help us today. And Lord, we just pray that You would help us not just to understand it, just not to understand the concept of Your Spirit, but to live and walk and breathe by Your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay, so the conversation of the Holy Spirit can be confusing, it can be taboo, it can be like speaking in tongues, and we're not going to get into that part of it necessarily today. But obviously, when you think about the Holy Spirit and the Trinity and all the three persons, God in one, but three persons, and if you were like me and you did ordination, or you've done studies, it was in my ordination and in my schooling that I realized that the Holy Spirit was in the beginning. I mean, I know that it's a concept that we talk about, that the Holy Spirit is God and there was no beginning, right? But if you go through Scripture and you look at Scripture, you see that there's evidence, and the word Trinity is not spelled out in Scripture, but it is very clear that there is a Trinity. So, Genesis 1:2. In the beginning, right, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And so there's it's very clear that the person, the Holy Spirit, was there in the process of creation. And here's another one, Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26 gives us this this perspective that God is three persons, because what does it say? It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in the likeness, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over creatures. Okay, so there is another verse, and there's many of this idea that God is three persons in one. John 1:1, we know this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, this is what the Word is. Jesus is the Word, and so Jesus was in the beginning as well as the Holy Spirit and as well as the Father. And just a couple more, just to kind of give you a glimpse of the foundation of this, is Colossians 1:16. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him, which this is Jesus, and for Him. So Jesus is the focal point in this and in our salvation as well. And so the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. So creation, all three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why we believe in the Trinity. That's why we believe in the three persons in one. And God talks about God the Father, or the Lord, talks about His Spirit in Zechariah 4:6. The angel is talking here on behalf of the Lord, and it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. So the Lord Almighty talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not, it's not like the Force. There may be some characteristics of Star Wars, the Force be with you, but the Force is basically communicated as everything in all of the universe connects together. And yet the Holy Spirit is different, because the Holy Spirit is outside of creation, outside of the universe, because the Holy Spirit is God. And so there's similarities, but the Holy Spirit is not the Force. In fact, in some ways, if you wanted to compare them, the Force is something that you can control. The Holy Spirit is not. Scripture tells us that we can't control the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, when we look at the what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does, it's not something that we can like struggle to hear God's voice, and we just do it harder. You know, like I remember in Youth with a Mission, there was one guy that was struggling because he was trying so hard to hear God's voice and he just couldn't do it. Well, obviously, because we can't, the more we struggle, it's probably less that we can hear God. It's more of a surrender, letting go and letting God speak to us. And so, John 14 says this, 16 through 17, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you. So the advocate, the word advocate is helper. Paraclete is the Greek word for advocate and helper. And notice that the Father, it says the Father will give you another advocate, which is another verse that indicates that the Holy Spirit is a person in the Trinity. That Jesus came, and he spoke to the disciples. He said, I'm going to breathe the Holy Spirit, a helper. The helper is going to come. The counselor is going to come. And You're not going to get the Holy Spirit until I leave. And so Jesus leaves after the resurrection. And the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, right? There's flaming fire above them, and they're speaking in tongues, and there's this evidence that the Holy Spirit has come. And we're not going to get into all the Old Testament details, but as you see in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit comes upon certain people, prophets, kings, right? But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will come upon all believers and dwell inside of believers. And so the Holy Spirit, when you look at this, there's like 11 categories of, and these are not all of them, of what the Holy Spirit does. Number one, he convicts us of sin. John 16:8, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. So you think that you primarily got saved because of your choice. But who convinced you, or who relayed that message to you that you were a sinner? It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave you this, whatever you call it, communicated to you that you were a sinner and you needed to be saved. God led us to himself. God's Spirit convicted us of sin and told us that we needed to be saved from our own rebellion. So, have you ever experienced or said something and then realized afterwards, you don't need to raise your hand on this one, and realized afterwards that wasn't the right thing to say? Yes? I mean, I would agree, right? So, or you posted something on social media and you're like, oh, that wasn't the right thing to do. And sometimes you can erase them or delete them, but not always. And they're already gone and out into cyberspace. Or maybe you've sensed saying something and you rewrote it before you sent it out. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you and telling you, don't do that. Or do this. Because the Holy Spirit will not, and I'll probably say this again throughout today, the Holy Spirit is not going to tell you to do something evil. So the Holy Spirit will tell you good things to do. That's the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And he gently does it, and he tells us. In fact, I've had many times where the Holy Spirit comes to me and, hey, Matt, that was pretty arrogant of you. Hey, that was your pride. Right? And so, that's the Holy Spirit. And he convicts us. The second thing, and these are not in order, but the one of the things is he seals us. Ephesians 1:13 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You have been authenticated. There is ownership, and he protects us, and nothing can break that. I know, you know, I personally have not struggled with doubt, but I know that there are people who have struggled with doubt that they are saved. But the Holy Spirit is the one that reassures us through God's Word that we are saved, that we have that promise. It's kind of like a tattoo. You know, you get a tattoo. Maybe some of you don't have tattoos, right? But somebody gets a tattoo, and you can't take it off. It's permanently on your skin. Now, of course, people can take them off by lasers or whatever, but there used to be a time where you couldn't. That's the idea of the Holy Spirit has sealed us in Christ, and the devil can't take it away. Not even God can take it away, because he has promised that we are sealed, that we are saved and sealed. And that's what Ephesians 1:13 is talking about, that we are sealed and by the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also reveals truth to us. 1 Corinthians 2:12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is divine knowledge. This is revelation. This is the epiphanies that you have, or the light bulb comes on when you're reading God's word, and it's like, oh my goodness, I get it. I understand now. And that's the truth that the Holy Spirit is revealing to us. And so when we look at Scripture, when we read Scripture, you open your Bible, you open your tablet or whatever, your phone, and you read Scripture, probably I should encourage all of us, even myself, to not forget to ask God to speak. Or maybe this way, God, will you help me to understand? Because God is speaking, right? It is His Word. But help me to understand the truth that is in this word. And so the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. And similarly, He teaches us. He teaches us, John 14:26, but the advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He's the best teacher ever. We have some teachers in this room. They're great teachers. But the Holy Spirit is the best. The best teacher. He guides as we read His word. He helps us to interpret it accurately. And that's the Holy Spirit. When that epiphany, that revelation comes, that is the Holy Spirit teaching us. And if you've ever been in a situation where you're living life, regular everyday life, and you're struggling, and a scripture verse comes into your mind, something that you remember from childhood, something that you remember from the pastor or Bible study or whatever, that is the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I taught you this before. You remember it? This is what you should apply to your life right now, right here, and I'll help you. Another one is the Holy Spirit guides us. John 16:13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. And so the Holy Spirit directs us in making decisions. It's kind of like the GPS system, right? It's well advanced now, and you can have all different voices, different, you know, female, male voice on GPS, or you can look at the Google Maps. And the cool thing about maps now is that it'll tell you that there's traffic ahead. It's yellow, and then it turns red. In fact, we were coming back from our trip, and we saw on our phone that there was traffic ahead. And the good thing was we saw it on the maps, but we didn't see it ahead because we were going around the curves coming down the mountain. And it wasn't slow, it was stopped. Like that 60-car pileup that happened because of fog. People were just going so fast and didn't see what was ahead. The Holy Spirit will guide us. And in fact, if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if we're yielding to the Holy Spirit will say, stop. Go that way. In fact, my wife lives by the Holy Spirit every once in a while, and we were coming all the time. And more than me, let's say that. And we were coming back from vacation. I told this story before, but we're coming back from vacation, and Susan says, Matt, you need to slow down. Of course, inside of me, I'm like, why? I want to say why, or I want to, you know, push back, right? And, of course, I mean, that's normal. But this time I didn't. This time I said, okay, which is not normal. And so I slowed down, and up ahead was a fatal car crash. In the middle of the road, a car was on fire, flames, seconds ahead of us. But we didn't see it until, I mean, it had just happened. We didn't see it. The Holy Spirit guided us and said, slow down. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He directs us. He guides us. He teaches us. He reveals truth to us. And he also produces fruit in us. When we are yielding, when we are allowing God to work in us, right? Galatians 5:22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I have a cheat sheet here, by the way, so if you don't remember them, it's okay. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you or I, if we're not patient, what's going on? Are we living by the Spirit? Because the fruit of the Spirit is patience. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and self-control and all those things. And so these things that we experience with difficult people in our lives or difficult time frames in our lives, we get frustrated, impatient, right? I'm explaining this because this is what I do. And the Holy Spirit helps us. In fact, we wouldn't have any love or compassion in our hearts for anybody unless for the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. When there is a glimpse of love or compassion towards somebody, that's the Holy Spirit. And so any kindness, love, gentleness comes from Him. We can't take credit for that. Rats. It's the Holy Spirit. And He also reminds us. John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything. I think I already read that one. But we need the Holy Spirit to remind us of what we've learned. We've all lost our keys. At least maybe I think everybody else has. And I've or our phones, right? And sometimes we say, okay, Lord, would you please help us? And it is not like, okay, we go searching again and we find it. It's not always like that. But sometimes it's like that light bulb comes on. Oh, yeah, I left it in the car. That's the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you didn't want to claim that it was the Holy Spirit, just claim that God created your brain, okay? And that God helped your brain to remember. But really, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God reminding you. And so He helps us. He reminds us. He teaches us. And He equips us with spiritual gifts. He gives us gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are different kinds of gifts. Every single one of you has a unique talent or gift. I'm using or as in like you can call it a talent or you can call it a gift. They're both the same in my mind. That God distributes those to you to do things on this earth that are unique and has purpose in this life, and that is given to you by the Holy Spirit and enables you to do that because we all have special abilities. And he enables us to serve not just God, but one another with those gifts. And those are different, but then the scriptures say, but there's one Spirit. And so we are all doing it together by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, but we have different gifts. A couple more here, a few more here. He empowers us, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So this enables us to accomplish whatever he calls us to do in the areas of our lives. So when I came here 13 years ago, I had maybe shared my testimony in front of people. I'd done some drama, but that's not really preaching. But that was really scary. I'm still nervous every Sunday, but that was really scary. But by the Holy Spirit, by his strength, I was able to do this. He's called me to do this for such time as this. The same way as what has God called you to do? And he will enable you to do that. He will breathe and empower you to do what he has called you to do. And sometimes God nudges us to do something, and we have to decide, yes or no, will I do that? Walking over to a new person in church, that might be scary for you. But the Holy Spirit nudges you and says, hey, go say hi to that person. Or speaking truth into someone's life with grace. Hey, go talk to that person because they need to hear the truth. I don't want to. Do you know, and I've experienced this a couple times recently, do you know that when your flesh stiffens up and you have this sense of, no, I don't want to do that, that is not the Holy Spirit. What is that called? It's called your flesh. And I've done that a couple times. The Lord said, you need to let that go. Like, I don't want to. And to be honest, I mean, and the Holy Spirit said, but that's not me. And like, oh, man, let that go. Okay. You got to help me then, because I don't want to. The Holy Spirit empowers us. He empowers us to do what he wants us to do, and it's letting go of our own desire, our own flesh. And so he fills us. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't let anything evil control you. Tomorrow is Halloween, and there's a lot of evil out there, and there's a generation that is godless. And yet they're searching for something to guide them, right? They're searching for something to tell them what the future holds. And so they go and they get tarot cards, and they get astrology, and they get into the occult and think that that's going to guide and direct them. And that is not the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit is gentle and kind and loving, and basically the other stuff is from the devil. It's evil. And there's many scriptures that say stay away from that. And so do not allow evil to control you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And so Sorry, I was reading this. No, no believer, if you're a believer, you do not have a legitimate excuse for not obeying God, because the Spirit has equipped you and us to do whatever He desires to do. And so here's an example. And this is a simple example, but have you ever walked by some trash on the ground and said, well, that somebody else will pick that up? I mean, that's simple, right? And I've had experiences like this, and the Holy Spirit said, pick that up. Okay, I'll pick that up, right? Same thing with a shopping cart. And these are just a little examples. You can come up with your own examples. Shopping cart, leave it out in the parking lot. And I've done that many times. I don't have time. It's somebody else's job. Someone's getting paid for that. And yet, when the Holy Spirit says, take it back. Okay, I'll do that. It's another way to be obedient, to follow the Lord's call, direction. The same idea is if you walk by a homeless person, and if the Lord tells you to stop and talk to that homeless person, I would encourage you to do that, because that's the Lord speaking, right? He's telling you specifically something to do. And the last one is the last one of that list. There's many other ones, but we'll go through. We're only going through a few today, and that is He indwells us. Think about this. The Holy Spirit came upon kings and prophets in the Old Testament. In fact, even gave Samson strength, right? But we, as believers in Christ, we have this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be alone or lonely, because God is with us. He indwells in us. And Romans 8:11 tells us that if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. That's really cool. And so the eternal gift that God has given us is the Holy Spirit to live and indwell in us, to empower us to do what He's called us to do, to help us in life. When we're struggling, when we're hurting, when we're not sure which direction to go, the Holy Spirit is there for us. Now, I came across this analogy, and I thought it was, you know, maybe if you're not a superhero fan, you wouldn't understand, but this analogy that I came across was really cool, and that is, if you think about superheroes, they sometimes have superpowers for different reasons. For instance, Superman is an alien, right? He's from another planet, and he has these powers, and he's perfect, and he doesn't have any weaknesses, right? He's this amazing superhero. But the Holy Spirit's not, I mean, that's not a good analogy of a superhero, because, or of a Holy Spirit, is because we are fallen people, right? We've sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are not like Superman or like Batman, where the Holy Spirit, Batman puts on a suit, right? He works out, he strengthens himself, he puts all this technology on him, and he's a superhero because of it. And so us working ourselves to get the Holy Spirit in our lives is not a good analogy, right? Or Shazam is another superhero, where he says Shazam and he's a superhero, and then he says Shazam and then he's not. That doesn't work. We don't just say, you know, Holy Spirit, come on me, and then Holy Spirit, come off of me. It's not like that. But this analogy that I'm going to show you a two-minute clip of is Catholic priest, Father Mike. He shares these analogies of these superheroes, and he gets to the last one, and he says, it's more like Steve Rogers, Captain America. He gets this serum, and it goes into his whole entire being, and it changes him, transforms him. Let's just watch this real quick. He'll explain it.
Where we realize that we're good, but we're not powerful enough on our own to follow after Jesus. I think it's like this guy named Steve Rogers. If you know anything about the story of Captain America, you know that Steve Rogers, as a kid during World War II, he was a good kid, filled with this honor and nobility. He was filled with so many good things, but he was powerless to join the fight against the Nazis. But what happens is he's injected with this thing called this super soldier serum. And what that serum does is it takes everything good in Steve Rogers, builds on it, amplifies it, and perfects it. In fact, this is even in the movie, that the guy who invents the serum, he says, it takes a good man and makes them great. This is exactly what baptism does. Because what we believe happens in baptism is it takes all that is good in a human being and makes it great. It takes all that's broken in a human being and makes it whole again. It takes all that's weak in a human being and gives it the strength of God. You know, there's a scene in the Avengers movie where Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Steve Rogers, Captain America, are having an argument. And at one point, Tony Stark turns to Steve Rogers and he says, everything special about you came out of a bottle. I remember watching that movie and thinking, oh man, that was low. But then I thought about it and thought, well, actually, that's true. Everything special in Steve Rogers. I mean, he was good, but fallen. Everything special about him came from that serum. And if you were to talk to, say, someone like Mother Teresa of Calcutta or St. John Paul the Great, and say, you know, everything special about you came from the Holy Spirit. Everything special about you came from grace. They would look back at you as if you were crazy and say, and? Of course it did. Because they would know what we know. That human beings are good but fallen. And so we need, in order to live great lives, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that
we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, he was using the terminology baptism, which is just semantics in the sense that when we come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in us. And so we can, of course, say no to the Holy Spirit, which is not what is the right thing to do, of course. But the Holy Spirit is a vital part in a believer's life. And the Holy Spirit teaches us, he reminds us, he strengthens us, like the analogy of Captain America. The Holy Spirit intends for us to walk in step with him. And so to live moment by moment in dependency, in sensitivity, in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 tells us this. Paul is saying, so I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Think about a person who goes to church and listens to the sermons and reads God's Word, and then the next day they go to work and they curse and they cuss someone out. Is that a spirit-living person? Is that a spirit-filled person? That is not living by the Spirit. That is not a Christian life. That doesn't necessarily mean that you've lost your salvation. That's not what that's saying. But the Christian life, the spirit-filled life, is to walk moment by moment sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so, totally submitted to him. It's Charles Stanley said this: Christian life is a life in whom the Holy Spirit is dwelling, and through him is expressing the life of Jesus. I'll say it again: the Christian life is a life in whom the Holy Spirit is dwelling, and through whom is expressing the life of Jesus, totally submitted to him. He has his way in my life. His way in my life, not my way in my life. And so, what does it look like? people are asking the question in their lives, why am I failing in my Christian life? Or why does it seem to not be working out? Or why is God not answering my prayers? Or at least it seems that way. Or why do I feel weak and powerless? Or why am I giving in to temptation? It's because the Holy Spirit has not been given access. You've relied on other things. And so God sent His Holy Spirit to give us power to be able to say no to sin, to be able to do what He has called us to do and asked us to do, to love others, to have compassion for others. Without the Holy Spirit, we could do nothing. We couldn't do any of that. And so the Holy Spirit will say, do this. And if it's our flesh, we'll say, I don't want to. But the Holy Spirit will say, this is the best thing. I know better. I know what's coming around the corner in the future. It's like a child who doesn't want to take the trash out. And you say, I want you to take the trash out now. And the child says, no, I want to do it later. Now, what is that? That's disobedience. That's pure rebellion. I don't want to do it. And so rebellion is not doing what God says to do. And so if God's telling you something to do and you don't do it, that's called rebellion. That's called disobedience. But the Holy Spirit is gentle with us and convicts us and says, hey, this is the best way. And we don't really have the say in why, right? Sometimes we don't know why. Turn this way, go that way. We realize that there's an accident down the street, and then we, in retrospect, we realize, oh, that's why. So it's not smart to live moment by moment without the Spirit, without His Spirit, because He's there for our benefit. He's there to be our comforter and our counselor and our director and our guidance. And so I want to encourage you today to yield to the Holy Spirit. If He's telling you to give, give. If He's telling you to love someone and go call them up or text them or whatever, I want to encourage you to do that. We want our children to do certain things because we know that is best for them. It's the same thing with God's Spirit. He tells us to do stuff because He knows best the best for us. And so depend on Him. Rely on Him. Be sensitive to Him and obey Him. Life is at its best that way. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that You have given us to guide and direct us in life. Lord, as we have identified by Your word, we've seen what the Holy Spirit does. Lord, we just pray that we would now be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we would be sensitive to the nudging and the encouraging and the guidance, that we would set aside our own will, that we would set aside our own fleshly desires, and that we would choose Your will and Your ways because they are better. And Lord, we pray that You would give us strength to do that. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.